Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the God.
Peace to the law.
Hey, yo, they go that brother's grand poobah. Heard that brother got nausea.
Yo, you and J, brother. Yo, let's have that brother come over and add on to the site.
I guess I'm like the verbalizer for the fact of moving blackwards. This Asiatic black man is a dog spelled backwards. The maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father civilization, god of the universe. Manifesting thoughts with my infinite size, making sure this travels 23 million miles. The other six are set to crucifix, because the heart of the problem is this.
Big on it, God.
Preacher got my order, putting money in the pan for the rest of the week. Now I'm eating out of soup can. He has a home, drives a caddy to town, has my old earth believing that he's coming from the ground. Slain of those who fought for what was right, slain of those who fell victim to the fight. A drug controlled substance contained in a vial, said about a devil as he looks and he smiles. Good at the game of technology, but I have knowledge of myself, you're not fooling me. You see, the answer to me is black unity, unification to help our bad situation. I wrote this on a day of wisdom, power, all being born in myself.
God.
I won't disconnect, brother, to be paid until my trade is just a planet is designed by the colored man. Now I'm able to born to think this is the way of us. That's the way the devil wants it, so it is no fun.
It's
just that sad old song, self-destruction, to stop our reproduction. Then put our wisdom before us.
Murderer.
That makes it wisdom, knowledge.
Murderer.
But we need knowledge, wisdom, to bring forth the understanding.
Murderer.
Freedom,
murderer,
power refinement,
murderer,
equality God built, destroy, bones our cipher,
murderer.
Can a devil fool a Muslim?
No, not nowadays, bro.
You mean to say the devil fooled us 400 years ago?
Why for self, for trade, and made an attempt for chase, and saying that we receive more gold for our labor in his name.
Do we receive more gold?
God, now cipher, time to drop the bomb and make the devil pay the piper.
True indeed, God, true indeed,
Mark,
true indeed.
Move on, black man, move on.
black man, move on. Move on, black man, move on. You gotta move on, black man, move on.
Peace, peace, peace. I'm wondering if anybody can hear me. Usually the music goes all the way. Is anybody out there?
Yes, sir.
There yes, we sir. Go. All right. That's what's up. All right. Very good. All right, people. Well, looks like Panther Power Chat is back. Open Rant. You're listening to the Panther Party Radio Network. I hear something tapping in my background here. Something's going on with the phone. Anyway, let's just try and get through this. Anyway, welcome to Panther Power Chat. I'm Kevin Crosby with the Panther Party. And today we're going to be doing some stuff about Malcolm X. Pardon me, I'm hearing something in my ear, so it's kind of throwing me off a little bit. So if I sound like I'm skipping, that's the only reason. This would have been his 95th birthday today. He would have been 95 today. And what I'd like to touch on today is what would he have thought about the situation that he sees now as it is, based on all the work and his sacrifice to see the results. A couple of things before we get started. We are starting the radio network back up. We are trying to get our shows listed, and we'll be placing schedules out there soon, and we'll be past a lot of the glitches and things like that, so please bear with. If you wish to call in, the number is 516-387-1261. Press 1 to join into the conversation. Yeah, something is tapping really bad there. I'm going to go onto my speakerphone. Yeah, it sounds like something's going on with it. I'm going to call back in, bro.
All right. Thank you.
All right, folks, I apologize for that. I don't know. My connection is pretty bad, so bear with me. Are you able to hear me, brother?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Nope.
All right, very good. All right. Well, we're talking about Malcolm, and the subject was something that started last night when we did my brother's show, and we were talking about if he was alive today, the state of the world that he would see. Of course, the beautiful part is he wouldn't be dead, and we would have got to see a lot more of his vision probably by now. But we were kind of going from the premise of the mantle being dropped at the time of his death and how it seems as if everyone stopped at that moment. While the Black Power movement and everything else came down the road later and was inspired by him, they never were able to get to the traction that he had gotten in that short period of time that he was allowed to share that time with us. Wow, the clicking stopped. Beautiful. And let's take a look at what he would be seeing in this world. He would see mumble rap. He would see the effeminization of our young men. He would see to the full glory the narrative of I don't need no man being pushed on our women. He would see the incarceration rates triple from the time when he was alive. He would also see the police brutality. And all of those things, the murders, straight out murders by police officers of our people, men, women, and children. And I just wonder, myself, I just wonder what would be his thoughts on our lack of progress, true progress, since he's passed. You know, to be able to look at this and see the result of it, to see that, you know, we have no real unity. And what we're unified on isn't worth a damn. Where we agree ain't worth a damn. Even though everything that's happening to us is happening to us because of skin color, seems like a lot of our people have some hypnosis, this mass hypnosis about this. And if I sound a little bit angry about it, it's because I think he would be angry about it. Because I know I'm angry about it now, because we're living it. And we totally dropped the ball because he had gave us a lot of what we needed at the time. And here we are. here we are in 2020. And I'm honestly, I think we're in worse shape now than then. I know that a lot of the our, you know, white counterparts like to say, you know, it's better than it was. And I'm thinking, how the hell would you know? You wasn't there, and neither was I. You know, the bird in the gilded cage syndrome is what I'll refer to it as. You know, I watched how quickly everyone was, you know, concerned about the virus and buying up toilet tissue and doing all that crazy stuff. And as soon as they offered $1,200, you forgot that they don't have a cure. They don't even know what this virus is or how bad it is or what it does. But yet they got you jumping through hoops, and they've affected you economically. This would be totally against what he was saying because he practiced and preached self-determination. And if we were practicing that, then we would not find ourselves reliant on a government that has shown us time after time that we don't count. You know, so since we're doing an abridged show tonight, I'm going to go ahead and open it up. If there's anyone who wishes to jump into this conversation, please feel free. No censorship here. If you got little ones, get them away. If you think that the language might be a little too rough. But I heard somebody whispering in the background there. Feel free. No censorship here. I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah, I opened up Brother Reggie's line, Brother Zeno's line, and Brother Clarence is also here with us. If you don't mind, can you mute your phone if you're not going to comment so we don't have all the background noise on the broadcast, please? When you want to make a comment.
Yeah, I'm not sure whose phone got opened up and it started clicking, but it's clicking a lot again. But either way, we'll start with you, Zeno. Take a few minutes and tell me what you think Malcolm might think about now.
I don't know. He might be flipping in his grave. I know that. I don't know if it's a lot of us are just kind of sitting back, looking at this stupid ass president lie and say he's taking this bullshit, and you know he really know he promoting one of his buddy's drugs. You know, that's all it is a promotion. He's trying to sell something that going against the CDC and all the health officials. He ain't shit but a businessman, you know. And shit, I'm approaching 50. You know, we far from stupid right now, you know, as far as that goes. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm sitting back, you know. Just look, just observing, you know, taking it all in.
I heard that. And I'm going to ask everybody to do me a favor just so we can keep this moving, keep the dice rolling. Whenever you're done with your statement, just yield the floor so that way we can go on to the next person. Go ahead, Zeno. If you weren't finished, you can finish your statement. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just wanted to make that known so everybody will know. This way we can keep it fluid.
No, I'm a yield for now. That was just my little opening statement, what I think, you know. You know, as
right.
far as that goes, I think he using it as a promotion gig. You know.
And I agree with you on that one. We'll touch on that one too. Brother Cleveland, I'm sorry, Zeno and who else? Zeno Reggie, right?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Reggie, that's your phone that's doing that click thing, but that's all right. Reggie, you go ahead next, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother. Sorry about the clicking.
No, you're good. Go ahead, man. Don't worry about it. Here we go. Right.
That ain't the click thing.
I'm worried about. The click I'm worried about is the police click.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Like to say, first of all, I wish Malcolm was here, you know. And I like to thank for all his efforts that he did accomplish and pass on to us. And you're right, we did drop the ball, you know, not just our generation, but the generation before us. And I feel like it ain't too late to pick the ball back up. But what they're doing to us now, let's just focus on what we need to do. I'm done.
Oh, okay. All right. And my brother Cleveland, how are you, brother? Are you still there with us? And
hello,
Cleveland.
He is still with us. He may be on mute. I think my line may be. Go ahead, Brother Cleveland.
May blessings, brother.
Peace, brother. Your thoughts on the question, or did you have any right now, or no?
Hey, peace, brother. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, peace and brothers, peace and blessings, brothers and sisters at the Pride. Cleveland, Brother Cleveland Moore, calling in again. Man, this conversation be so good. I just can't leave it alone. So to address how do I feel Brother Malcolm would feel about now, I feel as if he would more than likely be disappointed and on a rant, you know, probably call us, especially with the statement that was made about the government giving out money, and we forget that it's a coronavirus with no cure, and anything else for that matter. So just to see that we are being we're being fed with the nasty spoon, and we'll jump to that versus looking out for our own health, our own mind, our own well-being, our bodies, our children, our generations to come. You know, a few $1,200. Right. You know, we'll go jump and spend that. You know, and negate the fact that there is something out here that's killing us. And regardless to whether the media says it or not, this is a targeted virus, and I feel like it's lab made. And it's intended to wipe out certain races, no different than Hitler did the Jews during the genocide, and
exactly.
The Trail of Tears with
and
the natives.
The whole world,
it's the same thing.
That happened, you know.
Of course, we did, of course. So it's happening again, and it's up to us
right.
Whether we bite the bait and take these little 1,200 to measly nothing, and go out and risk our lives for it. Well, we sit back and wait, and really that's, I think, the key. And I think that he would be upset because, as you said, we quick to just grab the money and all the rest of our sense goes out the window. So I feel like he would be more upset with our race due to lack of communication and common sense and becoming a part of what has always destroyed us. What has always destroyed us, the same thing that will smile in our face, the thing that's always destroyed us. Even on our jobs, they'll smile in your face and destroy you with a pen. So it's a war on us, and it always has been. And anytime there's jealousy and envy, it'll be no rules to the game. They'll go and do whatever they need to do to eliminate us. And if that takes turning us against each other to eliminate us, then that's still a win for them. So it's got to be on us to stop taking losses. I can't speak for Brother Malcolm, but I feel like that would be something that he would want us to keep in mind. It's not about taking each other out, especially when that man looked just like you. You know, so we gotta get out of that caveman's mentality and realize that anything that doesn't grow up or grow out is dead. It's dead. So if we're not growing up as a race and as a people, and we're not growing out as far as businesses, then we're a dead race. So it's time to wake up. And with that, I yield.
All right, my brother. And Melvin, definitely got to get your take on it. I know we heard some last night, but shit, you didn't have a chance to think about that one today. So what are you thinking?
Well, I definitely feel like Brother Malcolm would be upset with us as a collective. I think that he would collectively call us a race of sellouts because we have effectively continued to sell out to the highest bidder. You know, we don't value our worth, and I think that he would definitely address that, because we are worth more than anything that they have ever offered or given. And we're talking about this little stimulus check. I just want to make the point to our brothers and sisters, to the realization that what we saw happen was a slap in our faces, because months prior to this stimulus check, well, we had Democratic debates going on and the talk of reparations was on the table, but there was no money for reparations. And I want us to come to the realization that as long as it is going to be something specifically for black people, they'll never have it. But as long as everybody is going to get a piece of the pie, well, they'll find a way to get it done, the same way they did with these stimulus packages. You know, months prior to that, they had no money for reparations. The slap in the face is, well, now that everybody needs some money, we'll create a stimulus package. So we, like I say, have got to first off come to the realization that they don't love us. They're never, ever going to give us what we need to become so-called equals in this society. You know, so I say that we just really need to buckle down and really study the message of Malcolm, because honestly, the strongest words that he said is we need to separate, and we do need to separate. And with that, I yield.
I heard that, brother. And Reggie, I'm going to ask you to mute your phone for me for a minute. I'm going to bring you back on, but if you can mute your phone so we can start.
No, it is. Are you?
That's me.
Oh,
that's brother.
Maybe that ain't you. Oh, okay. My bad. My bad. All right, cool. Anyway, I actually wanted to touch on something that Melvin just said about work, because my next question, it's a doozy. What do you think he would think about the way we treat our women? Yeah, I heard that. I can't even whistle, but I heard that. That's right. Who want to go first now? Because I'll start the dice rolling if y'all scared.
I'll take it. I'll take it first since my phone, I don't know why it keeps making the clicking noise, but I would think he would be totally disgusted with how we treat our women, because if you know, like last night in my discussion about talking about Malcolm the man, you know, and Malcolm the man entails Malcolm the father, Malcolm the husband, Malcolm the uncle, Malcolm the brother, you know. And if there was one thing that we did know and understand about Malcolm was his loyalty to his wife, his loyalty to his daughters, his loyalty to his movement. So I think that he would be highly disgusted with how we treat our women, because we don't respect what brings forth our existence. And if we don't respect what brings forth our future generations, we'll have no future generations. So I know he'd be highly upset and, totally against what our standards of treatment of women are in today's society. And with that, I'll yield.
My brother said a lot right there. Now, that's some Busta Rhymes shit right there. You got the dice rolling. Okay, you got it rolling, because I would concur, you know, that he would have some issues with that. The frivolous use of the word bitch, the way that our women are attacked by police and others, and even within their own ranks, the way that they act with each other at times, you know. You know, it used to amaze me that on a Friday night when I worked down, you know, as a bouncer, that all of these women would spend all of that time getting dressed only to get out there and in less than 60 seconds, you know, look like, you know, they came out of the WWE, you know, all over a silly word or a spilt drink or something stupid, you know. If there are any women, any of the queens on the line that would like to get in on this, because this is about you, this part, please feel free. Press 1, and we will definitely bring you on, because I would love to get y'all's input on this, because Malcolm didn't just fight for us. He fought for y'all, too. So, you know, y'all are just as invested in the win or the loss here as we are. So, please, don't be afraid. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, Zeno, your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, he'd be upset with both the men and the women, because our women have stirred so far away from the root too, you know. With a lot of us, with the system, you know, the way the system's set up, you know, we're set up to fail. You got one trying to outlaw abortion, and then you got one talking about pro-choice, and the ones that's outlawing their abortion, really, to me, they plan is to want to raise our men in the system, our young boys, just to lock them up and make modern-day slaves with them. The women will be out there alone, and then they just going to let them astray and do what they doing, you know, showing their body, you know, they don't have no guidance, you know, and they still got the drugs, got them out there on the drugs, you know, without a male in the house. It's still that same old 1980s, 70s, and 60s setup, you know. You can't get nothing if your man's still living in the house. Y'all know, y'all remember that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, they just doing it in a different
that
way.
With a corrupt ass child support system, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. My point is that, you know, so, you know, our main thing is we still need to be educating our kids to get them in these dealerships, to get them in these, you know, lawyers and everything, you know what I'm saying? To get them up there to, in key positions, you know? And, you know, they've lost this Me Too shit. They've lost the way thinking that they are above us. And, you know, and you supposed to stand on my right. You know, my lady's supposed to be on my right. You know, not in front of me, you know. That's how I feel. You know, not taking nothing away from you. You supposed to support me. You ain't supposed to override me. You ain't supposed to bully me. You ain't supposed to think you can whoop me or be better than me and outdo me. I don't mind you making more money than me. And, you know, that's good. We bring it into the house together, but everything is my, me. And I have a problem with that. You know, and I think he would too. You know, we got to get a lot of strong women out here with voices too, you know, to try to redirect. There's some of them that's already above the age of turning around, and the titty clubs and already got them corrupt. It's hard to show them that, you know. That's how I feel. I don't know. Everybody may not agree about how I feel about some things, but that's just me, man, you know.
No, well, there's no censorship here, and I'm going to add one thing to what you said. Key positions in our system, not in theirs. Because you know, the problem is they've had us chasing key positions in their system. And even when we had a half black man, supposedly, at the top of it with an attorney general that don't look too different from him, we still couldn't get no police reform or anything else done to help make sure that we leveled our rocking ship enough for us to start building on it, or we got no assistance during that time frame. He put up an initiative, he had an initiative, My Brother's Keeper, But that was an initiative. He didn't make it an executive order. And I haven't heard him mention a word about it since he stopped being president. So I don't know if he's still doing it or not, but, you know, hopefully, but, you know, in our system, because the whole thing that Malcolm was talking about was us, becoming self-determining and not being reliant on the system, which we still are, unfortunately, you know. Is there any sisters that wanted to come on and say anything? Is any of the sisters on, brother?
No, sir. No, sir. No sisters are
all right.
On
I
the
guess,
line.
I guess we're talking about y'all tonight instead of two of y'all over there. All right. No problem. We only got about maybe 20-something minutes left anyway. So I kind of want to stay on that for a second, though, because I kind of want to get Reggie's thoughts, and I do want to get Cleveland's thoughts on that. And I'm actually start with Cleveland this time. Cleveland, your thoughts on how Malcolm would feel looking at the way our women are treated, not just by us, but by the world.
Ooh. Damn, brother. I feel like the question would be,
good.
What if we...
good. I feel like I got one on you on that one. You got to take a minute to think on that one.
It's definitely good. It's definitely it's an excellent question. And I feel like, you know what, I'm appreciative that you even brought that up, because I'm pretty sure, like myself and the rest of the pride out there listening, they were probably thinking the same thing, like, you know. So I'll start off with, I feel like he would start off this conversation with the black male. What have we become? And why are we allowing it? And where's the respect gone for the women that brought us in the world? I mean, because I feel like someone brought up the loyalty to his wife, to his family, to his daughters. That loyalty is not in households anymore, unfortunately. And it's due to a system that was, somebody brought up a child support welfare system where the man can't be in the house. That was definitely dead on. It still lives to this day, and it's the separation of the black household. And I feel like for a lot of the females, it brings in the mentality of, I don't need a man. I don't need this. I don't need that. That's what the government's telling them. And it pushes that black man out. And it's like, you know what? Well, we take on the mentality, well, we don't respect this female, because we feel like, well, she gave us over to the white man anyway. You put us on child support. Why couldn't we work it out? So, unfortunately, a lot of the child support cases build this image up in our women's mind that, hey, it's okay not to have a black man around. It's okay to have weekend visitations. It's okay to pay $20 for rent and get $600 in child support, because that's life. That's living. And that's the mindset that the system has created in our people. And I feel like the disrespect, the lack of respect from the black woman, because it goes two ways now. It's not just the black man disrespecting the black woman, but now it's like almost to the point where we can't stand in the same room and look each other in the eyes and have a decent conversation. So it's definitely something I feel like he would address. He would address the men in a certain way, saying, grab that respect back, grab that woman, hold her close, and do what you have to do. Put that same energy into your household that you putting out in these streets trying to be a real nigga. And I feel like he tell those women to go back natural, wipe that mud and that clown mask off your face, and let's get back to the basics of being the backbone of this household, being a protector of the children, the teacher. And I think everything will fall into play. But that's a very, very, very good topic, brothers. With that, I will yield.
Well, actually, no, I ain't going to let you off the hook that easy, because now I'm going to give you a part two on that one, okay? Because you said something there, and I'm kind of want to expand on that just a little bit. I got a feeling we're going to have to do this show tomorrow, 2 hours for show, okay, for show, because this could actually get, this is something that I think is vital to our unity, is getting that straight. And we need to get that straight maybe first. But you said something about the you know, with the women, not, you know, well, let me see if I can make sure I want to make sure I phrase it right, because I actually had a thought there, a question. But well, I think I have lost it. I'm sorry. But I am going to ask this. Because in the comments that you just made, I heard something there that kind of like it led to another question. And I'm trying to remember how you said it so I can remember the question that I had for it. But it basically boils down to you said something about the being the backbone of and making sure of the protection and all of that in there, and teaching the children and all of that. But, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, but isn't it our responsibility as men to make sure that that woman feels settled enough to be the queen that she is and the strong one in the household that she is? And if we're not doing our part, then how can we get mad at her if we feel that she's not able to do hers at her highest standard?
That's a very good question, and I agree with what you're saying. And that's where we have to get our shit together as black men, and we have to get back to the basics ourselves, start respecting ourselves, start respecting that black man to your left and your right, those children. And I know one thing I hate to see as a black man, I'm standing behind, I may have my son with me, and he's got to look at the crack of another man's ass. But that man will get mad and quick say, oh, I ain't gay. But you showing my son your ass crack. If we can get back to the basics with a little bit more respect for ourselves, our women will respect us, and we can get back into the strong black households, and she can have that comfort zone. And she won't have to have the mentality where, oh, we don't need a black man in the house. We don't need anybody. The system will take care of us. It'll negate all of those things. But until we pull ourselves together as black men, we got to find that pride somewhere and stop settling for any and everything and stop falling for the propaganda. Stop giving these high sneaker brand or whatever you want, whatever we brand ourselves with, whether it be Polo, Tommy Hilfiger, or whatnot, lose these brands and pick back up that pride. And that way she can have that strength within. She can believe again. And I'll yield.
I like that.
Some of them got his home training too when it comes to them.
Who's that?
You know,
speaking?
Some of them you can't break that. This is Zeno. You know, you can try to show them the way and show them, you know, how to be a lady, how to be a woman. You know, that you got
a
man.
You can't show a woman how to be a woman. You can't show a woman how to be a woman, brother. I'm going to stop you right there.
What
do you have to show a woman how to be a woman?
Not exactly that. I'm just saying try to show her that you got a good man in your corner. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? And that comes back to home training with them. You know, if they ain't been showed that, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be hard for you to fight through that. You know, fight through that web. You know, I don't care how much money you make, how much you show you love her and everything, she'll still downgrade. Not an upgrade. At least if you're going to fuck off, leave, or do whatever you do, at least upgrade. You know? You try to have respect for themselves. You know, looking at it as a father's point, from a father's point of view, a husband's point of view, you know. But if they don't care about themselves, you know, then we got a battle, and it ain't just one. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, when they calling each other bitches and shit, you know what I'm saying? But then they get hot as hell when we fly off and call them one. So we got to reverse. You know, that's where the sisters come in at, to try to help them reverse they the way they think. You know, and they get up there past 22, 23 and stuff. You know what I'm saying? They still ain't learned nothing. Boy, that's hard. That's a battle.
That's true, but you can only teach somebody what you know. Can't be mad at a fish if it can't climb a tree. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, my thinking is maybe the problem is that we as a collective, as black men, are not respecting our women enough. Because to me, I don't think you can teach respect. I think you can show respect, and that usually begets it back. And it does something for a person inside when they feel they're being respected. This is why as black men, when we go out here in this world and we have to deal with the white supremacy or the white privilege or, you know, the little silly shit like walking in the store and you know the cameras is on you and shit like that, we've always been targeted. And even during slavery, you know, the woman was the one that the slave owner would talk to before he would talk to the man. They followed that Willie Lynch book, you know, they literally followed it to the letter on how to break us. And I think that break still holds. And to have someone like Malcolm come along and try and show it to you, here's where they broke you at, and here's how you can fix yourself. And for all of us to even stop working on it when he died and basically wrote out a very angry black power movement that got fragmented and tore up by COINTELPRO and our own silliness with each other. You know, it kind of makes me wonder, because I don't ever think it's too late for us to change, but I'm starting to wonder if our unity is even possible under the conditions, considering if we can't get that particular part of it right, the rest of it won't be built on anything. It'll fall in on itself, and that damages the children if they're involved, in-laws, everything else, everybody. I mean, because there's nothing up under it. And I think that we have to kind of look at our part in this as well, because our women look to us to be their protectors. I mean, not a lot of them nowadays, because, you know, we haven't held up our end on that as a collective. There's some of us that are doing it. I know a lot of the brothers on here are, but not everybody's doing that. We all know some brothers out there that's pretty rough on females, and they leave a trail of damage in every city that they wind up in. There's, you know, some movie I saw a long time ago, Thief of Hearts, what they would call them, you know, and leave all of these women damaged and untrusting of the next guy who might be the guy for them, but they will treat him a little bit different. And I used to didn't understand it. I mean, as I got older, I got it, you know, and once I had a daughter, I definitely got it. But, you know, yeah, I do wonder about that part, because Malcolm was a shining example. Betty Shabazz never thought about marrying anyone else, and he's been dead for a long time. And she never even considered, I don't think, marrying anybody else. That's the kind of love that we should be having with each other. And I don't know why we are so far away from that. We're very, you know, I feel like we're way more individualistic in our thinking now. And there's a lot of stuff out there to prove that. But I do think that the first step for us as black men would be to live, to be the example, to just be the example, and not to be afraid to point out to brothers when they doing something that's going to take away from their little queen or their little princess or whatever. You know, I had a chance to talk to a young brother today, and I was listening at him, you know, talking. This man's only 24 years old, and I'm thinking he's already got it figured out. Because, you know, he was talking about how some of these women are coming at him, and, you know, how he, you know, he deflects that because he's truly committed to his girl. And, you know, and I told him, I said, stay with that. As long as she's your priority, you won't go wrong. Make sure you're hers too. But as long as she's your priority, you won't go wrong. Because at 24 years old, I know I was stupid. And if a chick even winked the wrong way, here I come. You know, didn't even think twice about it, you know. So, and that was in itself disrespectful towards the women because I didn't see them as equals at that time. I saw them as something to do. And I think we really need to get back to a more of a trying to work on their family structure, because the system can only destroy what we allow it to destroy. If we work on making it right, then, you know, it's just like with our unity, with us becoming an economic power within this country. All of that's within our grasp to do. We just have to do it. And I think that Brother Malcolm at 95 years old would be looking at us with a look on his face. And he'd be right. He would be absolutely right, you know. I'm not sure what's going to happen next with that, but I do want to say, I feel like we had a short show tonight, and if it's all right with Brother Melvin, we will set it up to do a full Panther Power Chat tomorrow at 6 p.m. Well, it'll be at 8 p.m. Eastern, and it'll be a full two-hour show, and I do encourage you guys to let everybody know that you know to come on. I really would like our queens to be in on this conversation because, I really feel like we need to give them an opportunity as well to express their thoughts, because Malcolm was their brother too. And I'm sure that they have the same mixed bag of emotions that we have about this day and him and what he was trying to do. And I know they all appreciate the fact that he was, you know, faithful to his wife, loved his family, you know, and loved us enough to get blasted in front of his family for us. So, you know, I really would appreciate that. I would like to have more of the queens on to help us kind of see what we can do to start looking at, you know, what we need to do to make this better. And it's not going to be an argument. It's going to be a discussion, you know. I did want to give everybody a minute to go ahead and say something before we go ahead and close out. So I'm going to start with Brother Reggie.
Yeah, I'd like to say on the topic, to me, the bottom line is he would want us to follow African principles and get away from European principles and the way of living. And you're right, he would be angry with us, but I think that it would be the same tactics that he would have used then as today. It wouldn't have been any change. He'd reached out with love and showed us the right way of living. But I'd like to thank you for, allowing me to be on the show and listening and stuff and learning a lot, and I really enjoy it. I yield.
And I'm expecting you tomorrow, brother.
All right.
My brother. Cleveland, we're going to go to you next, brother.
Wow. I just want to say, man, powerful.
Can barely hear you, brother.
All right.
How about now, brother?
Got better?
A little bit.
All right. So, I want to say powerful show, powerful topic. Again, I appreciate you, brothers, for allowing me to speak. I appreciate everyone else that was listening. I hope that this conversation is powerful enough to make a change and start this movement like it should be, and a movement in an expeditious way, because we got to save ourselves as well. Brother Malcolm, as far as Brother Malcolm, powerful, powerful, powerful. He left us a blueprint that we should follow. And we got to be the builders of our own faith. And as far as the rest of it goes, as a race, we already got the playbook. But we can't score until we start reading it. So I'll yield with that. I'll say peace and blessings to the brothers and sisters of the pride. And I love y'all. Y'all be safe. And with that, I yield.
My brother, I expect you to be there tomorrow, too. All right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I totally appreciate you, all right? Dino, my brother.
Oh, man, I just, this is a heated subject. This, you know, we have to have a sit-down round table on one like this one, you know, with everybody. We got to do, you know, we got to further. It takes working on us, you know, on me. And when I say us, you know, us men, you know, my little man here, I'm teaching him different. He's just 5 years old, you know, teaching him respect, you know, little girls and ladies and stuff, you know, and it's a hard subject for me because y'all, you know, a couple of y'all know what I've been through, just been through, you know, over the last 7 years, you know, and it's hard, you know, so, you know, this is definitely a subject that, you know, I want to work on, you know, because I want to work on me. I got to start with me, you know, and that's real too. So, you know, that's, you know, I'm glad we're having this chat again, man. It's been 2 years, it seemed like, you know, but everybody's been busy. Everybody's been, you know, it's been hard, but we got to do something. You know, we got to step up to the plate now. You know, and I'll be the lead off the bat. So, you know.
My brother.
And,
I appreciate
you know, with
that.
With that idea.
My brother.
And I expect you tomorrow as well. Brother Melvin, may as well set it up for tomorrow for the 6 o'clock thing so we can just start. I'm going to call in the same way I called in today. I'll tell you why later. But what are your thoughts, brother?
Well, brother, you know I love my people, and I'm all about black love. And just like Brother Malcolm, he was all about black love. And he was the epitome of black love because even though his own people, the people that he was, you know, breaking bread with turned against him, he still loved them. He still respected them, and he never talked hatred. And I'm definitely ready for the subject tomorrow. I'll get everything set up because we definitely – like I've said hundreds of times, until we can rebuild the black family, we cannot rebuild the black community nor a black nation because it all starts with family. And I yield.
All right, my brother, I appreciate that. And I got a little bit of time here, so I'm going to thank everybody who did come on. I know it was short notice. But, you know, we're going to work them glitches out. We'll be good on the next one for sure. We'll also be putting a schedule up for shows. We'll be getting that situated in the next few days. And we'll have a slated schedule of steady shows with smart and intelligent people like my brothers and the sisters that came on last night. And, you know, we're trying to reach everybody. And we know everybody won't get it, but we're going to put the food on the table anyway. You're welcome to eat, you know. I do want to also thank my brother Melvin for, you know, working double duty today because he made some things happen that we needed to happen. So I appreciate him, his dedication, you know, outstanding. So, you know, and I do also want to remind everybody, you know, Malcolm said, don't let the wolf chase you to the fox. If you have to figure out what that means, then you might want to start back at square one. All right? But anyway, with that said, this is Kevin Crosby with the Panther Party, and this is the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is Panther Power Chat Open Rant. We'll be back tomorrow. There'll be a slate of other shows that'll be coming on as well. So please stay tuned, let everybody know, and do remember, we are supporting black businesses. We'll be doing ads for them for free on all of the shows. We're going to work out a way for you to actually create your own ad and give it to us to upload so that way you can have it in your own voice, put your information there and everything else, so this way you'll be able to strengthen your black businesses because we need that. You know, the economics is going to be important, and we'll touch on that in the future, I'm sure, before the week is out. But with that said, all power to the people, always. And I do appreciate you all, and I love you to death. Please be good to each other and try to be 10% more human tomorrow than you were today. especially with each other. No more benefit of the doubt for white privilege. They get what they got coming. With that said, I appreciate you all. Y'all have a great night. Thank you for listening.
All right, bro.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate? You should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you. We teach you to love the hair that God gave you. Here you way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. Here, the white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.